Listening to E.T. The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI, project dates back to an influential paper written in 1959 by physicists Giuseppe Cocconi and Philip Morrison, who suggested that listening to microwave radiation of a frequency between 1 and 10 gigahertz would be the most suitable way to eavesdrop on extraterrestrial communications. Below 1 gigahertz, signals would be washed out by radiation emitted by fast-moving electrons. Beyond 10 gigahertz, noise from oxygen and water molecules in our own atmosphere would interfere with any signals. They selected 1,420 gigahertz as the most promising frequency in which to listen to signals from outer space, since that was the emission frequency for ordinary hydrogen gas, the most plentiful element in the universe. Frequencies around that range are nicknamed the watering hole, given their convenience for extraterrestrial communication. Searches for evidence of intelligent signals near the watering hole, however, have been disappointing. In 1960, Frank Drake initiated Project Ozma, named after the Queen of Oz, to search for signals using the 25-meter radio telescope in Green Bank, West Virginia. No signals were ever found, either in Project Ozma or in other projects that, in fits and starts, tried to scan the night sky over the years. In 1971, an ambitious proposal was made by NASA to fund SETI research. Dubbed Project Cyclops, the effort involved 1,500 radio telescopes at a cost of $10 billion. Not surprisingly, the research never went anywhere. Funding did become available for a much more modest proposal to send a carefully coded message to alien life in outer space. In 1974, a coded message of 1,679 bits was transmitted via the giant Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico toward the globular cluster M13, about 25,100 light-years away. In this short message, scientists created a 23-by-73-dimensional grid pattern that plotted the location of our solar system, containing an illustration of human beings and some chemical formulae. Because of the large distances involved, the earliest date for a reply from outer space would be 52,174 years from now. Congress has not been impressed with the significance of these projects, even after a mysterious radio signal called the WOW signal was received in 1977. It consisted of a series of letters and numbers that seemed to be non-random and seemed to be signaling the existence of intelligence. Some who have seen the WOW signal have not been convinced. In 1995, frustrated by the lack of funding from the federal government, astronomers turned to private sources to start the nonprofit SETI Institute in Mountain View, California, to centralize SETI research and initiate Project Phoenix, to study 1,000 nearby sun-like stars in the 1,200 to 3,000 megahertz range. Dr. Jill Tarter, the model for the scientist played by Jodie Foster in the movie Contact, was named director. The equipment used in the project was so sensitive that it could pick up emissions from an airport radar system 200 light-years away. Since 1995, the SETI Institute has scanned more than 1,000 stars at the cost of $5 million per year. But there have been no tangible results. Nevertheless, Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at SETI, optimistically believes that the 350-antenna Allen Telescope Array, now being built 250 miles northeast of San Francisco, will trip across a signal by the year 2025. A more novel approach is the SETI at Home project, initiated by astronomers at the University of California at Berkeley in 1999. They hit upon the idea of enlisting millions of PC owners whose computers sit idle most of the time. Those who participate download a software package that will help to decode some of the radio signals received by a radio telescope while the participant's screensaver is activated, so there is no inconvenience to the PC user. So far, the project has signed up 5 million users in more than 200 countries, consuming over $1 billion of electricity, all at little cost. It is the most ambitious collective computer project ever undertaken in history, and could serve as a model for other projects that need vast computer resources to carry out computations. So far, no signal from an intelligent source has been found by SETI at Home. After decades of hard work, the glaring lack of any progress in SETI research has forced its proponents to ask hard questions. One obvious defect might be the exclusive use of radio signals at certain frequency bands. Some have suggested that alien life might use laser signals instead of radio signals. Lasers have several advantages over radio because a laser's short wavelength means that you can pack more signals into one wave than you can with radio. But because laser light is highly directional and also contains just one frequency, it is exceptionally hard to tune into precisely the right laser frequency. Another obvious defect might be SETI researchers' reliance on certain radio frequency bands. If there is alien life, it may use compression techniques or might disperse messages via smaller packages, strategies that are used on the modern internet today. Listening in on compressed messages that have been spread over many frequencies, we might hear only random noise. But given all the formidable problems facing SETI, it is reasonable to assume that sometime in this century, we should be able to detect some signal from an extraterrestrial civilization, assuming that such civilizations exist. And should that happen, it would represent a milestone in the history of the human race.